And turn with me to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. I'm going to read all 11 verses if you'll follow along. It says, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose stream make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts up his voice and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The Lord of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done. The desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. One of the great hymns, in fact, it was kind of interesting, even though we didn't sing this hymn this morning, we kind of sang around it. I mean, there were other ideas, other songs that gave us the same type of idea. But one of the great hymns was written by Martin Luther, and it was based on Psalm 46, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. And you can just hear this, you know, the magnificent courage of this preacher. I mean, the courage that was displayed when he stood there before that religious council who had put him on trial, and he said, I cannot and will not retract anything. It is neither wise nor right to do aught against conscience. Here I stand. God help me. I cannot do otherwise. However, sometimes the courage, this great courage of Luther, would almost fail him. And it was at those times that he would turn to his friend and he'd say, Philip, let's sing the 46th Psalm. And I know that, as I said, you know, so often when we sing songs, we kind of just sing them. We don't think about the words, but you can imagine that as what he was going through in his life, as he was making move toward the Reformation, if you will. We're part of the Restoration, but the Reformation, and how they were constantly trying to take his life because of that. And then he writes this song, this hymn. Listen to the words. In fact, it's in your hymn books at number 26, I believe it is. It says, a mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing, for still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great and armed with cruel hate. On earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he, Lord Sabbath, his name, from age to age the same, and he must win the battle. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The spirit and the gifts are ours through him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill. God's truth abideth still, his kingdom is forever. Now, we don't know, you know, exactly what was going on that caused Martin Luther to write this hymn of praise. But since we know that he based it on the 46th Psalm, and by the way, that was his favorite psalm, that's probably why why he based it upon this, I think we can venture a guess. I mean, perhaps the situation that best fits the tone of this psalm is the deliverance of Jerusalem during the time of King Hezekiah, when Sennacherib's army was totally slaughtered by an angel of the Lord and 185,000 Assyrians lay dead on the ground. And so this psalm encourages us to hope, to trust in God and his power and his providence and his gracious presence with us in the worst of times. And so it directs us to give him the glory, to give him the glory for the things he's done in the past and the things that he's going to do in the future. And so in our text today, the psalmist is explaining a similar setting. Israel is surrounded by danger. I mean, the nation is right in the middle of some of the most powerful nations of the day, and they had enemies on every side. And if they gave way to fear now, then life could become unpleasant very quickly. For you see, if they ever gave way to fear, they'd begin to despair. And that would make them weak and easy prey for their enemies. And so while all the other nations, you know, kind of boasted of their impregnable walled cities that sat high on inaccessible cliffs with, you know, iron gates and fierce warriors to protect it, Israel, on the other hand, was in a safer position than all the nations. God was their refuge and strength. And so the focus of Psalm 46 says, don't do that. Psalm 46, 1 and 2 says, God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way. We will not fear. That's good theology, isn't it? In fact, that's great theology. But let's be honest. There are times when that not fearing or no fear thing is hard to do. I mean, back in the day of the psalmist, I mean, there were a lot of things for them to fear, were there not? I mean, there was injury and disease and death and storms and earthquakes and droughts and famines and, of course, that occasional time when the enemy would come and try to invade the nation. And so in a lot of ways, you and I have it a whole lot better than today. And yet fear is still a powerful thing even for us, isn't it? I mean, there are studies that point out even today, Americans are the most stressed and fear-ridden people in all the world. But why? Because the natural response to the fear is unknown. You know, it's unknown to us. And there are things we can't control in it, and so it makes us afraid. And so when life gets hard, when there are dangers, when there are threats to our livelihood, when there's disease, when there is injury or even death, even in the most spiritual people among us, even the most spiritual people among us can be afraid. And so fear is a reality of life. It is, isn't it? I mean, every one of us have experienced it, I'm sure. And so when fear grabs hold of us, we can be anxious and desperate and powerless. And when fear controls us, our lives can get really, really miserable. But God says, don't let that happen. Don't let that happen. Don't be afraid. I mean, God says that over and over and over again in Scripture. In fact, it's one of the most repeated commands in all of the Bible. Don't be afraid. But we ask, how can that be? How can we do that? I mean, how do we not be afraid? How do we deal with fear when it comes knocking on our door? Well, as we look at the text this morning, the first thing that we come to understand or that we realize is that what we fear may be very real. I mean, there are a lot of times that fear is not imaginary. And God knows that. And God is not indifferent to with what we struggle. And God tells us that we will face trouble in this life. Isn't that what Jesus said? In this world, you will have trouble. You will have trouble. I mean, many times I've told you about the song that, you know, in fact, we've quoted it, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore." This world is not our home. I mean, if we were with God, we'd be in heaven, and in heaven there is no more trouble. Isn't that right? Revelation 21:4 tells us, "In heaven God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." That's what heaven's like. No troubles, no sorrows, no crying, no pain. But in this world, you and I will have trouble just like everybody else. But though we experience trouble like everybody else, the difference is that we won't go through this trouble alone. One man told about trying to witness to a woman. He said that the woman told him, says, "Nothing's going right in my life. My daughter was killed. My husband is unfaithful. And I'm afraid I'm going to lose my job." And so we ask her, he says, "When the world comes crashing down on you, to whom do you turn?" And she thought for a long moment, and finally she said, "Well, I guess I just go to myself." And later she said that the one word that described her was alone. Alone. But God says he's not going to let that happen to us. He'll never allow us to be alone. Again, the first verse of the psalm says, "God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble." He'll be with us. He'll be there in the midst of our struggles. And God said in Deuteronomy 31:6, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." Now, have you ever heard that before? I mean, it's in the New Testament, isn't it? Yes, it is. It's Hebrews 13:5. But why would Hebrews quote Deuteronomy's promise? It's because God has made the same promise to us as he made to the Israelites. God will never leave his people. He will never, ever forsake us. And so just to drive that home, God repeats a phrase twice in Psalm 46, verse 7 and 11 says, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." God will never leave us, nor will he ever forsake us. And folks, when we have that kind of attitude, fear cannot control us. A man told a story about a fiercely independent 84-year-old grandmother. And he said that she lived in the family home and she had four children that lived in the area, but she never called them or rarely called them except in the case of emergency. So one morning when one of the sons received a call, he immediately rushed over to her house. And when he got there, he said, "What's the problem?" She said, "Well, last night I heard a noise in the house, and I think there's a burglar in my bedroom closet." And he said, "Why didn't you call me last night?" And she said, "Well, it was late, and I didn't want to bother you, so I just nailed the door shut and went to bed." You know? And that's the kind of confidence we can have when we understand that God is with us. I mean, we can just nail the door shut and leave the stuff to him. God is with us, and he will never leave us. But wait, there's more. There's interesting couple verses. Verses 4 and 5 says, There is a river whose stream make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. And so in the midst of troubles and difficulties, God tells us that he will not only be with us, but he will give us joy and gladness, and he will refresh us. Again, the verse says, there is a river whose stream makes glad the city of God. What is that river? Well, it's God. The river is God. I mean, that's him. Back in the days of ancient Israel, as you know, when a other nation came, they, what they would often do is they would surround another nation or another city, and there they would try to starve the people out. But if the people had a source of water, they could last a long time. And normally that source of water came from the well. But as we all know, wells can become stale, can't they? Or they can run dry. And when that happens, the city is in trouble. But if a city had a source of running water, like a river running through it, then they could last a really long time. And if that water was pure and sparkling water, it not only satisfied their thirst, but could be a joy to drink from. And that's what Psalm 46 is telling us about God's supply for us. God will not only be with us in our troubles, but he will supply pleasure and gladness. The city of God was threatened by neighboring nations, but the inhabitants of Jerusalem just calmly were trusting God. I mean, think about that. How in the world could here they could be encircled by an army and yet they remained so calm during that time? And of course, the answer is that ever since the Garden of Eden, God has always had a river of peace flowing to his own. And it's the river of God's grace. And the writer of the psalm is so certain that God's grace will bring victory that he says God will help her at break of day. Friends, God's powerful, isn't he? And we sang that this morning. I mean, God is powerful. I don't know whether we have any idea how great is his power, how powerful he is. I mean, just think about a few things that he's done. He speaks and the world comes into existence. He raises Jesus from the dead. You know, he manages what he has created so that we know that every morning we get up, the sun's going to rise. And that the earth is going to continue to circle around the sun. And God has countless angels. And he's made a covenant that he will be with mankind as our refuge. If we'll live righteously and believe in his Son. And so he has a river that will give us peace. And that river is grace that constantly flows from God to us. But I believe this river also has a supply of refreshment. And that refreshment is the Word of God. And so he will give us a cool, refreshing drink of joy, even as we go through suffering. Sometimes hard to believe, isn't it? But he does. He helps us to understand it and look at it from a totally different frame of reference. But right in the middle of the psalm is an interesting command. It says, be still and know that I am God. And so there are two parts of that command. The first is be still. Be quiet. Don't move. Don't fuss and fidget. Because you see, it's hard for God to really fix things in our lives when we're constantly moving about. Now, I'm sure that, you know, you've all had children, or maybe it was a spouse, but mostly children, that get a splinter in their finger. You ever had that happen? And the child comes to you, and they trust you, and you get a needle, and you sterilize the needle, and you get a pair of tweezers, and the moment you touch that splinter, what happens? You know, it hurts. And we say to them, look, now, you know, I realize it hurts, But if I'm going to get this splinter out and stop the hurting, once I get it out, it'll stop hurting. Then you just need to trust me and be still. So you take that finger and you begin to work on it. And you get the splinter out and they feel so much better. I mean, when life's difficulties come to us, when things aren't going exactly the way that we want them to go, when life is hurting us, what do we tend to do? Fidget and fuss. And sometimes even panic. And the reason we do that is because we've forgotten the second part. The second part of that command, which is know that I am God. And you see what he's saying to us? He's saying, trust me. Trust me. I'm God. I can take care of this. And see, that's what this verse is all about. God's asking each of us, do you trust me? Do you trust me? Well, then be still and know I am God. So don't be afraid. Because you see, it's not your problem. And you say, wait a minute, it's not my problem? If it's not my problem, then whose problem is it? Well, it's God's problem. You see, God is God, and we are not. We belong to him, and he said he'd never leave us or forsake us. So our problems are his problems. And according to Scripture and according to the promise that he's made to us, he'll help us to get through these things, these difficulties of life. And we need to learn that over time, when we're faced with the issues that we can't control, just focus on God and remember. Remember what he's done for us in the past. Remember what he's done for us in the past. Now, you and I are going to get frustrated and we're going to get upset just like everybody else. But when we do that, the scripture we should run to is Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. And the rest of the passage goes on to tell us that if we focus on the good things that God has given us, then what he'll do is give us that promise, the peace of God that passes all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Jesus Christ. Folks, when we get upset or stressed out, we simply need to revisit the things that God has done in our lives. Revisit the things that God has done in our lives. And if that doesn't work the first time, then go back over them again and again and again until that frustration goes away and is replaced by remembering that God is God. You're not God. God is God, and he will never leave us. He has never left us. And when we do that, the temptation to fear goes away. It goes away. I want to close with a story about a woman by the name of Gladys Alward. Gladys was a missionary in China back when missionaries were kind of welcomed in China. And she was really one who worked with an orphanage of Chinese children. And during that time, the Japanese, during World War II, the Japanese began to invade the area, and she realized that the only thing they could do is to run for their lives, and the only way they could go is over the mountains. But she had over 100 children, but she saw no other recourse, and so off they went. But suddenly, I mean, we all realize how much a child can eat. And they had not been able to get all the supplies together because they fled. And so she was at wit's end. She didn't know really where to turn as they were making their way. And the enormity of the task was really weighing heavily upon her. And after passing one sleepless night, she faced the idea in her mind that there was no way. There was no way that they were going to make it. No hope. And so she sat down in despair. And a 14-year-old girl, one of the orphans, came up to her. And she reminded her of the story that they often love to talk about, the story of Moses and the crossing with the children of Israel through the Red Sea. And Gladys finally looked up at her in despair and said, "But I'm not Moses." And the little girl said, "Of course you're not. But Jehovah's still God. Jehovah's still God." And folks, you and I aren't Moses either, are we? And we're not Esther or Daniel or Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. We're not any of those famous Old Testament heroes. But God is still the same God. We serve the same God. I mean, they weren't any different than any of us. They weren't any different than any of us. I mean, how in the world could they allow themselves, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to be thrown into a fiery furnace because they had such faith in God? They trusted God. And we're not any different than they are if we'll just lay our lives in the hands of God. The only advantage that we have here is that as life gets hard and overwhelming, we need to look to God. Again, because God is God, and He's promised never to leave us or forsake us. And if you're a Christian, that promise is for you. That promise is for you. But if you're not, then that's why we sing the invitation every Sunday, isn't it? To give you an opportunity to give your life to Christ and have Him come in and be with you always. Always there, never leaving, never forsaking. So if you've got a decision to make, why don't you make it this morning as we stand and sing?